Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Are you blessed this morning? We serve the Lord who has overcome death, hell, and the grave, and we get to worship the risen Savior this morning. So let's lay down all of our problems at the foot of the cross this morning. Amen. There's no problem greater than our Lord and Savior. He literally died, took our sins, erased our old nature, and rose again so that we can live in victory this morning. Right now, in this second, the tomb's empty. You don't have to go and look at the empty tomb because we know it's empty, amen? So we serve a Savior that's not just sitting in heaven, but He is in us and He is working through us. So this morning, let's invite the Holy Spirit to move amongst us. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into this time of worship and praise, and let's worship our Lord and Savior in spirit and in truth this morning. So let's worship Him, for He's worthy of our praise. Lord, You are worthy of every ounce of praise. Lord, every word of exaltation You are worthy of. Lord, Your grace overwhelms us. Your mercies exceed all judgment. Lord, and we stand before You, not worthy of anything, but yet worthy at the same time, because You sent forth Your Son to die for us. And when we put our faith in Jesus, Lord, You've made us new. We become something we couldn't do in ourselves. We become a new creation, Lord, and we rejoice in that this morning. As for there's a greater purpose deep down inside of us than we can ever imagine. Lord, open our eyes and open our hearts to this new thing before us. Lord, bless everyone here this morning. Lord, bless, Lord, the one who just walked in, and bless the one who has been here for generations. Lord, let us all see Your glory and Your power. Lord, for You are seated at the right hand, the one of power and authority, and You are seated in the act of peace and rest. Lord, let us have Your peace this morning. Pour out Your Spirit upon us. Open our hearts to Your word and bring everything together for this season for us. In Your precious and holy name, amen and amen. Amen. There's such a beauty in His suffering. There was a beauty in the ugliness of the cross. But His pain, His suffering, His sacrifice is our gain this morning. And we rejoice that every day in the Lord, we rejoice in what Jesus Christ did for us. This morning, we're going to extend our worship into our giving and our offering. This morning, we have many ways you can give. You can text, you can give online, you can scan that QR code, you can scan the code right in front of you on your chair, you can give to those boxes as you walk in. But the main thing in our giving is we're giving to the Lord. And we want to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us. So our mission, our goal at the Way LBK is to give back unto the kingdom what He has given to us, so that we can reach people with God's love, so we can reach them with God's mercy, and we can get the message of Jesus Christ to everyone around us. And it takes everything we have, amen? The Lord will take just what we give and He'll multiply it, but He uses us to fund and to be a blessing to those around us. So thank you for everything you give. Know that you give with a purpose, and that purpose is to see the kingdom of God and to see what the Lord is doing in our lives. Are you blessed this morning? Yes. You know, I'd like to tell you a quick story this morning. I don't know about you, but moving back to Lubbock, my sinuses, allergies have been just driving me crazy. So I've been getting a lot of medicine, over-the-counter stuff. So I went Friday to get more medication because I was having a bad day. And I went there and they said, no, you cannot have any more allergy medication. The government does not want me to breathe. So I just want to tell y'all, in case you see me on the news on some FBI watch list for allergy medicine, it is an innocence. I'm innocent until proven guilty. I just have allergies. I'm not trying to cook meth. I promise. I've seen Breaking Bad. I wouldn't use Sudafed anyways, okay? No. But they really did deny me, and I can't get any allergy medicine. So if you want to go to the store for me, that'd be great. That'd be great. That will be great. Well, it's great to have you in the house of the Lord. If this is your first time, welcome to God's house. We know the Lord led you here for a purpose, for a reason. If it's your second time, you can't leave. You're stuck with us. You are here, and you are part of this church family. So it's great to have you in the house of the Lord. How many of us love change? Yeah. Some of us do, amen? Some, yes. Some of us love change, and for the other part of us, it's hard, right? Change is hard. Anytime we face change, anything, things change in our lives, sudden change, it's hard for us sometimes to adapt and understand. The Bible says that God is in control of these times and seasons. So when a season ends and a new season begins, it's the Lord. And we have to embrace that. We have to understand that. And we have to constantly renew our mind to what God is doing in this moment. This morning, we're going to take time at the end of the message to reflect on what Jesus did on the cross, the bread and the wine. And this was a huge change that God brought forth in his son, a change that did away with the old system of sacrificing of animals that could not take away sin. When Jesus offered himself as the final sacrifice and brought forth a change that we are still feeling today. So I want to start with a quote this morning, and that really brings home of what Jesus did and what for us to put our mind on. It says, the new birth is not the improvement of the old nature, but the creation of a new one. In this new season, in this new covenant, we have a new nature, a new creation in Jesus Christ that we couldn't have done on ourselves. We couldn't have created in us. But Jesus Christ did by changing forth the season. And God came and brought Jesus and brought this new season to us. And in this new creation, we're born again to see the kingdom of God. We're transformed into his image. We're sanctified every day. And we're leaving behind the old nature and the past as we walk with the Lord. And we're being transformed into something we could not do ourselves. Church, I will save you a lot of money. You don't need any self-help books unless I write them. Amen? There's only one self-help, and that is the new creation of Jesus Christ. And once we accept and understand that, all things become new and all the old has passed away. And we have to constantly remind ourselves that we are a new creation and that we're walking with the Lord every step of the way. And we have to understand what Jesus is bringing is the new wine. And Jesus talks about this in Matthew. He said, if you put new wine into old wineskins, both are lost. He was talking about a generation that was fighting him, and they were trying to hold on to the old system. And Jesus was telling them that this new wine was not going to be for old mindsets. It was going to be for a new mindset that would bring about a change that the old system could not do. So church, I want to look at who we were before Christ, the old nature, and how do we embrace this new creation in him, and how we continue to walk in this new creation. Because sometimes in our lives, a season can change, but our mindset is not renewed. So we're in this new season and we're in this new place saying, Lord, where are you? Lord, what is happening? And we're all uncomfortable. And it's not because God is not with us. It's because we haven't renewed our mind to what God is doing in that moment. So let's go, as we continue the study in Ephesians, let's go to chapter 4, verse 17, and we are going to look at this old nature as Paul describes. Are you with me this morning? Let's get into his word, his loving word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you shall no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds." So the Gentiles are the ones outside the promise, outside God's covenant. That was us before Jesus. And he says, do not walk in the futility of their minds. So I want to just kind of break that down, that word. That's a big word. So let's break down the futility of the mind. And it simply means this: a mind that thinks but does not arrive at the truth, which is Jesus. A life that moves but goes nowhere. A heart that desires but is never satisfied. Just think what of a burden that is to have. That we are constantly thinking, but we never arrive at the truth of Jesus. That we're constantly busy and moving forward, but we're going nowhere in reality. In a heart that is constantly desired, but has no satisfaction, that is never satisfied. So Paul said that we should not walk as the rest of the Gentiles, not have this mindset, but have the mind of Christ. He goes on to say, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of uncleanliness and greediness. So Paul's describing this mindset that darkens our understanding, separates us from God, hardens our heart, and has a loss of sensitivity to sin. This is who we were before Jesus, before the Lord transformed us. But there's a pull that the enemy wants to pull us back to this mindset, this old nature, to walk in this desperateness, this desire that is never satisfied. A mind that thinks and thinks but never comes to the truth. So it creates alternative truth that is outside of God's truth. Amen. Truth is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Amen. Our whole Christian faith is based upon the truth of Jesus Christ. Our truth does not match his truth. And when we understand that, then it will set us free. But there is this pull to go back into this old nature, this old mindset that doesn't see what God is doing in the present circumstance. The children of Israel, the Israelites, they prayed to God that he would deliver them from slavery because they were working hard, they were making bricks, and they were being suppressed by Egypt and the Pharaoh. And God sent forth Moses to deliver them out of the bondage of Egypt. He sent all these plagues, 10 plagues, all these signs. He parted the Red Sea and consumed the biggest and largest army in the world at that time to save them, to only have them create and make a golden calf, for have them to not want to go into the promised land because of giants. Their mindset was still in slavery, but they were free. And they wandered around the wilderness 40 years until that mindset and that generation died off. Then they went in. Church, I want to be the generation that sees what God is doing now and moves in now. Amen? I want to understand what God is doing. I want our eyes to be open, our heart of understanding to receive, so we can identify and see what God is doing in this moment, in this time in our lives. We are not lost. Nothing can separate us from the Lord. He has a plan for you. So let's go in further. Let's go to verse 20. This is the good part. He said, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. And what Paul is saying here is that truth is a person. It is Jesus Christ. That you have encountered Jesus, and that is the truth. And that what has set you free. It's about relationship. Our walk with the Lord is not just doctrines. It's not just traditions. It is relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't reduce our walk with the Lord by a method and saying, if I do X, Y, and Z, then God's going to respond like this. Amen. We are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in this relationship, we're growing closer to him. We're understanding him. And he is pouring more of himself into us. And we are in this covenant marriage to him. And we don't have to wonder if we're in this relationship. Because if we have a method and we have religion, then sometimes we doubt our own salvation. I've had people in the past say, and they question and say, am I really saved? I said, what you have to understand is you're in a covenant relationship marriage with the Lord. I don't wake up in the morning and wonder if I'm married. I wake up in the morning and I know I'm married by the list of chores I have by my bedside. Just joking. I have to say that, yeah. We know we're in a relationship. We know it's a covenant. And we know that God is not going to break it. Because he wants us and he needs us. And what we have to understand is we've encountered the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, we have traditions and we do wonderful things in church like we will do this morning, but that is to remind us of who he is, not to replace the relationship of him. Our relationship with him is the most important thing, and when we draw closer to him, we have assurance of who we are in him, and we can discover what great gift we have in this wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. As Paul goes on, he says that you put off, amen? Someone say, put off. Put off concerning the conduct that was before, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. So right there, we are called to put off the old man. Every day, we put off the old man. Romans 13:14, Paul says, he echoes this. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we take off and we put on. So in the mornings, it's so easy to wake up and be in this flesh, to be irritated, angry at the world. And we keep this flesh on and we go into our daily lives and we bring this old man with us and nothing is going right. But we're called to shed him, shed this old person, and put on Jesus Christ. And we do this by, well, let's just see what Paul says to do. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen? To be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's how we take off this old man. And renewed simply means to be made new again in a continually, everyday, refreshing way. Where we are renovated inwardly daily, your thinking, your reasoning, your worldview, your attitudes, your perceptions, and how you see the world is renewed every day by the Word of God. That's why it's so important when we wake up in the morning, we open this thing, or we get on our phones, we open our Bible app, which wasn't a thing 30 years ago. Amen. But we have so much access to God's word. It's all around us. But is it getting in us? Is it getting in our heart? Is it getting in our mind? Is it something we crave and need? When we get into God's word, it renews us mentally to see what has already been done here. Amen. See, what the Lord did when you put your faith in him, he instantly transforms you. You become a new creation instantly. But what is behind is the mind. So the mind is discovering who we are in Jesus every single day. And this is the battle we face. That's why Paul said, the thing I know I should do, I don't do. But the thing I know I shouldn't do, I do. oh, what a wretched man I am. He's talking about this battle between this understanding, this battle between the flesh and the spirit. Who's going to take the lead in your day? That's why Jesus said, those who belong to him have crucified their flesh and desires to the cross. Every day we get into this word and we put on the new man. We remind ourselves who we are in Jesus Christ so we can see what the Lord has for us in that day. What a great gift that is. So we put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So let's look at what is this new man? What is this new man in Christ Jesus? Well, it's simply, it's new in kind, not just new in time. It's a person identity. It's a new identity. It is a completely new kind of person, not the old you try to upgrade through good works. So what Jesus did, when we accept him, he's given us his nature, his identity. And he's given us everything who he is in it, and he transfers it to us through our faith in him. But our mind has a hard time of comprehending that, so we have to remind ourselves that we are a new creation in Jesus Christ. We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This takes the pressure off us. You don't have to earn anything before God. Amen? Let's take a deep breath. We receive it through faith. We can try to be good. We can try to be righteous. We can try to be holy. And we can act these ways, but we always fall short before God. Because his standard of holiness is sinless. It's not good. It's sinless. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the standard of good is perfect. That's why Jesus told the young rich ruler, do not call me good, for there's only one good, and that is God. Our standard of good falls short from the standard of righteousness and holiness, which is in Christ Jesus, which is God himself. So just think about the life of Christ. And I always love to remind us of this. I marvel at it. Jesus never sinned in his actions. He never sinned in his thoughts. He never had a thought that was sinful, ever. Just think about that. How many sinful thoughts do we have a day? You know, it's a flooding of sinful thoughts. We don't consider that sinning, but Jesus told us the standard of the law is the heart and the action. For whatever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we have a sinful thought, we've just committed that sin before God. That's the standard which Jesus lived to perfectly. And it makes me so angry when you hear these pastors and ministers that get behind a pulpit and they diminish the deity of Jesus Christ. They said he fell short. They said he was wrong in this passage. They say that he sinned. He was sinless, perfect in every way. If you would sit before him, he would never say the wrong thing, never think anything bad of you, and always do the right thing. That's the Lord and Savior we serve. And that standard cannot be met by us. It's only the lies of the enemy that says that we should try and do. But the Bible clearly says to receive, because there's a greater purpose within us that we have to awaken and pull out of us to fully understand. So let's go to verse 25 in chapter 4 of Ephesians to see this greater purpose that we are living to. Paul says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Now, what truth is this? The truth is Jesus Christ. You know, we would love to speak truth to people, right? There's a lot of people say, you're just crazy, man, right? But no, the truth is God loves you. He's restored you. He wants relationship with you. No matter what you've done, he loves you. That's the truth. And we're to share that with our neighbors, for we're all members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Now we've, at our home, I've kind of gotten into these shows on YouTube where it shows cops chasing down, you know, stopping people and their reactions, and they act all crazy and stuff. And they do all these things. And I'm just thinking, if people would just have some self-control and restraint, and they can be angry and sin not, how much would this world be a better place? Amen. How much would this world be a better place? Because God has given us rules. He's set in order things. And no, not everything's going to go our way, but be angry and sin not. Amen. Sin not. Goes on to say, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That's so powerful. You know, a lot of times we take hurt and pain and it turns into, well, I want to punish the world. I want someone to feel this pain, but we have to forgive, nor give place to the devil. Amen. Because that's where he lies, in our anger and bitterness, in wanting wrath. Paul goes on to say, let him who steals no longer, he's talking about the transformation of someone who steals, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may be impart grace to the hearers. Is this us, church? Are we imparting grace and mercy to those around us? Is our words loving and gentle and kind? Are our words bringing grace to those around us? You know, there's a lot of times I have to check myself, saying, are my words edifying, or are they poisoning those around me? Let our words be dipped in grace and love, so that we may share what true love is to our neighbors. He goes on to say, and let it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And to grieve the Holy Spirit simply means to cause him relational sorrow by living in a way that contradicts his nature within you. So I put it like this. You're in a marriage, a relationship, and you're in this covenant, and you do something in that relationship, in the covenant, to hurt your spouse, to hurt the other person. You cause grief to that person. You cause grief to your spouse because you have disrupted the trust and balance of that relationship. This is the same thing. The Holy Spirit is in us. He's in you. The moment you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit as a seal, as a promise of God's redemption in you. And the Holy Spirit desires the things of God. You know that thing you feel that you shouldn't do, but you do anyways, but you feel that, oh, I shouldn't do that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit in you, loving you and guiding you and saying, that wouldn't please the Father, but this pleases the Father. This act loves the Father. And we're called to simply hear that voice and follow the still small voice. It's not hard to please God, amen? All we have to do is follow Jesus. Religion says you have to do all these things, act a certain way, be a certain way to get God's approval. It's all about the outside. But as Jesus told the Pharisees and scribes, you're like whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. It's a heart that longs for him and moves forward in him. Then Paul goes on to say, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen and amen and amen. Church, what is before us is very simple. We have the ability to put on this new nature, put on this new man, to love each other, to be edifying to one another, and to forgive each other. How many times has someone hurt you that your first instinct is to take their eye? Amen? You took my eye, I'm going to take your eye. An eye for an eye. But Jesus said, I've come to speak something greater than give them your other cheek. Give them the coat off your back. Go with them the extra mile. Forgive them when it seems like all forgiveness is gone from you. Love them when it seems like they are unlovable. And walk that extra mile with them so they see what true love and devotion is. Are we doing that this morning, church? Because, you know, we have this theme at the Way. It's welcome home. Because when you walk through that door, I want you to feel the love of God. When you leave, I want you to take the love of God with you and share it with those around. When we forgive and love as Jesus loved and forgave us, it gives us something that we never had before, that we couldn't have in the old man, that is peace. When we sit in unforgiveness, church, it creates an imbalance in us. When we allow wrath and malice to overtake us, bitterness to overtake us, it creates this imbalance in us because we were called to love and forgive. Amen? But we can't do it in the old nature. We must put on the new nature. We must take this word and put it in our hearts and put it in our minds to what God has. So my challenge for you this morning is to receive his love and let it transform you and put on this new man so we can truly understand and comprehend what the Lord has for us. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, as we take time to remember you, Lord, in this solemn time, Lord, let us reflect on what you did. Lord, let us bring into memory the forgiveness that flows out of you, the love that flows out of you in your heart for us. Lord, as we take this time, let us reflect on that. Lord, because you're loving, you're merciful, and you're above all things. And we rejoice in that. And we rejoice in you, Lord. Church, you know, at the beginning of the message, I asked you a question. Do you like change? There was one change that happened that brought forth this new covenant. And this change that happened when Jesus Christ was born. He was born of a virgin. And he came into this world who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And he grew. And he grew in wisdom, he grew in standing, and he laid down his life for us. And the moment he said, it is finished on the cross, our struggle to get God's approval was finished. And there was this great earthquake that happened that went into the most holy place, tore the veil, and the Spirit of God left. And now when we put our faith in him, that Spirit comes in us because now we're the temple of God. We're holy and renewed and righteous because of the change that brought forth in Jesus Christ. So this morning I'm going to ask my servers to come up. We're going to pray over the bread, pray over the juice, and we're going to invite you to partake as well. Here at The Way, the table is open to anyone and everyone to partake of this, because it's a gift. It's a gift of grace to us. And the Lord excludes nobody. Those are man-made restrictions, but the house that God built with his hands is open to everyone who desires to be with him. In the upper room, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he tore the bread and he passed it to those around him. Then he took the wine and he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of your sins." And we do this act this morning to remember what Jesus did. So this morning I'm going to pray over this. I'm going to serve our service, then invite you to come forth and take forth of this great gift of salvation, the great gift of grace, as we remember what Jesus did. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this gift of salvation. We thank you for what you have done. Lord, we rejoice that you chose to go to the cross, that you chose to lay down your life. We rejoice that now we can do this in remembrance of you, to renew our minds through this great gift you have given us, that never grows old, never grows stagnant, and never loses power. We thank you. And we will stand in this for all eternity, Lord. And we rejoice that you have given this. In your precious and holy name, amen and amen. Church, the Lord is good. It's hard to define how good he is. But just look at where you were and look where you are now. The Lord will not forsake us. He will not leave us. This new season ahead, the Lord is with us. And he will provide, he will do great things. Giants will fall, the walls of Jericho will fall down at our feet, and we will have victory in Jesus Christ, amen? You know, I was thinking there about our policy, if you come twice, you have to stay. I change it. If you come once, you have to stay, amen? So you belong to this church family, and I hope you feel loved, welcome, and wanted at The Way LBK. Stay, have some good food, fellowship. We got some great things for the kids. Let it be a great time of fellowship in the Lord. But it's great to have you. Great to see you. Sundays are better together, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.